أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول.
السلام عليكم, peace be on you. Welcome to another episode of Islam in Focus. Today we have our 31st program in our series dealing with the sources of Islam. We'll be continuing with the third segment of our discussion on the question of the possible existence of the Quran before its revelation to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid, and I have joining me on the program, as usual, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Glad to be back with you for another interesting session on this very interesting topic. For the benefit of the viewers who may not have seen the last two programs that we've done dealing with this very interesting question, could I have you perhaps explain briefly the nature of your research on this question?
Okay. Well, to start with, the main reason that motivated me to do this, you know, small piece of research is the fact that the Quran as a book, a holy book, was revealed in a way that is unique and quite different from any previous scriptures. Mm-hmm. In a sense that, number one, it was revealed over a period of 23 years. Number two, this 23 years include a period in Mecca, in the about 13 years of initial spread of Islam, and some were revealed in Medina about 10 years later, or the following 10 years. Thirdly, that many of the revelations of the Quran, many of the citations or ayahs, were revealed actually by way of commentary on certain events or an answer to certain question that might have arisen from time to time in the life of the Muslim community. And then we noted that while many surahs in the Quran or units were revealed mainly either in Mecca or in Medina, we find strange enough that in many of these there may be something in the middle, maybe two, three ayahs, just in the middle of the surah, that were revealed later on in Medina, or the reverse, which means that there have been no particular order or chronology in that revelation. And after I mentioned some of the basic reservations and limitation of this research in terms of the certitude of what is revealed in Mecca and Medina, both in terms of the surahs and specific ayahs, with the reservation also of the reasons for revelation, which are sometimes subject to question, I said, however, if we follow the classification that we find in many copies of the Quran about where each surah was revealed and what are the exceptions, using that as a framework, we counted 41 surahs in the Quran which has a combination of both revelation in Mecca and Medina with years by way of gap between this revelation. And what we pointed out last time, and to some extent also towards the end of the one program before that, is that it is amazing to notice that if you look at the flow of meaning of the verses or ayahs before the ayah that are different or were revealed in a different place and the ones after or both, you find that the meaning flows very nicely, not only in terms of the style or rhyme, but the flow of meaning gives the impression as if they were revealed all at the same time in the same place, which is not the case. And that, of course, raised the basic question as to what can really explain that unless the Quran did exist in full in the knowledge of God prior to its revelation, and then it was revealed a small part here, a small part there, and then the Prophet was directed to put it together and direct where each single verse or ayah should be placed, and finally it came up fitting completely and perfectly, which again shows that it all existed before its revelation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that your research on this particular subject has not been published at the moment. Mm-hmm. And since no other publication appears to have addressed this particular point, I'd like to have you perhaps continue in today's program with a summary of your findings.
Okay, I hope it will not be too tiring to you, because of course this is not the same format that we used in other programs. But what I did, I got you a copy also of the translation of the Quran by Yusuf Ali. And I would suggest also that some of the viewers who wish to review that with us, they could do so, or they can take notes and check it for their own. But in any case, I'll be giving both the surah number and ayah number. Just by way of clarification of the terminology, when we use the term surah, we're using that instead of the common term chapter, because the Quran is not just divided into chapters like any textbook or any subject. So the word surah, S-U-R-A-H, means a portion of the Quran or unit. And the word ayah, A-Y-A-H, means what is usually referred to as verse, or just one small passage, if you will, one or more passages. To start, for example, from Surah 42, you notice that in the 20s, for example, in the ayah 22, towards the end of that ayah, it speaks about the reward that Allah has prepared for those who believed and did good deeds, and that they would be enjoying the bliss in paradise, and that this is really a magnificent bounty that Allah has given them. So the end of the verse talking about the magnificent bounty Allah gave to the pious. You continue with 23, ayah 23. It says that is the bounty which God has give, or that God gives glad tidings to His servants. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at these two passages, can you notice any difference in flow? Can you tell whether one of them was revealed in a different time or place?
No, just seems to flow together.
Flow together. Actually, one of them is commenting on the other. It talks about the bounty, and the other one says that this is the bounty that Allah gives glad tidings. The fact of the matter is that up to ayah 22 was revealed in Mecca, 23 through 25 were revealed in Medina. Mm-hmm. Again, without any noticeable break in the meaning or the rhyme. Again, what can explain that if there were any human author? There could be no human author for these kind of things. Now, in the same surah again, you find that ayah 26, which is following the previous three passages which were revealed in Medina, 26 was revealed in Mecca. And if you look at the connection between 25, which is a Madani ayah, and 26, which is a Makki ayah, again, there is the same kind of flow of meaning. Why? In ayah 25, Madani ayah, it says that Allah will accept the repentance of His servants and forgive their sins and know what they do. All right? Mm-hmm. In the following ayah, it says, "Where and He listens to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and give them increase of His bounty." Again, you hardly feel any difference in the style. It simply describes acceptance of repentance, the following ayah, number 26, and how Allah listens to their prayers and accept them, which is again a perfect flow of meaning. One of them is in Mecca, one of them is in Medina. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, as indicated before, that it's not that some ayat were revealed in Mecca first and then the completion of the surah in Medina, but like they are scattered here and there. In the very same surah, when you get back to ayah 27, you find that ayah 27 actually was revealed in Medina. So again, there is even one and one, like one ayah 26 is Makki, 27 is Madani, 25 is Madani surah ayah. Which shows again that there's no way that someone can author this and scatter them and then they fit together. You notice, for example, that in 27, a Madani passage, it says, if Allah gave provision for His servants without any limit or enlarge it or give more, some of them might transgress, but Allah gives this wealth in measure, in some measure. All right? The following ayah 28, it speaks also about Allah sending the rain down after people have dispersed. Now, sometimes the connection might not be as obvious, but you notice here that the term yunazzil in Arabic is used in both of these ayahs. Yunazzil, which means send down. So send down wealth or send down rain. Now there is connection here because the rain and wealth are matters which are coveted and desired by the people. So there is one similarity. Secondly, as it is dangerous for bounties and wealth to be too much, because when people get too much wealth, they might become arrogant and too haughty and indulgent and so on. So is excessive rain, because again, excessive rain might be damaging and destructive. So you see again the perfect connection of the meaning again with the variation of the time and place of revelation. Let's take the following surah 43. And let's get around ayah number 54. Now, in ayah 53 and the previous ayat, actually, let's say from 51 to 53, it speaks essentially about the story of the Pharaoh in Egypt and how he was too haughty and too proud, and he claimed that that he has the domain of Egypt and the rivers are flowing underneath him. Started to belittle and criticize Prophet Moses in passage 52. Again in 53 he says, if this were really a prophet, that is Moses, why doesn't he get some kind of gold bracelets bestowed on him from heavens, or why not angels come with him? So all of them deal really with the attitude of haughtiness on the part of the Pharaoh and his argument to his people to convince them that they should not listen to Prophet Moses. Now, in passage 54 or ayah 54, it says, فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. Thus did he, that is the Pharaoh, fool his people that they obeyed him. Alright? The following passage, 55, it says, and when at length they, that is the Pharaoh and his people, angered or provoked us, we exacted retribution from them. Now, can you tell if there is any difference here? The flow of the meaning is perfect. All deal with the story of the Pharaoh. It describes his arguments. It describes the result of this argument of his people being fooled by that argument and following him blindly without thinking. And then talking about the consequences of following Pharaoh, that they angered Allah and Allah punished them and he drowned. As we know, all the story of the Pharaoh and his army were drowned. A perfect connection of the meaning. However, it is interesting to notice that ayah 54 that says that Pharaoh fooled his people to obey him comes in the middle, and that was revealed in Medina, whereas the passages before and after were revealed perhaps years before in Mecca. You see? In Surah 44 there is no problem because there is no mixture of passages revealed in Mecca and Medina. But in Surah 54, for example, if we get around passage number 14, you notice, for example, that from passage 12 to 13, it speaks about how Allah made subservient the sea to people so that the ship might sail in it. It talks about how Allah made subservient to humankind everything in heavens and in earth. In passage 14, it says, tell those who believe to forgive those who do not look forward to the days of Allah. Days of Allah means like the hereafter, or that Allah may recompense people or each people according to what they have earned. In passage 15, it talks again about whoever does righteous deeds, it is for himself. Whoever does wrong, it is against himself again. Now, between 14, which is revealed in Medina, and 15, which was revealed previously in Mecca, 15 and 16, which deals also with the Israelites, you notice again that the meaning seems to be flowing, because you talk about people who are not remembrance, or do not remember the bounties of Allah, and that after all, you people can forgive them, but after all, the ultimate reward for punishment or punishment for their deeds would lie with Allah, which exists or is found in ayah 15. Again, the meaning still flows without anything that might sound as an interruption in the meaning. In surah 46, That's another interesting ayah also, or surah, because there are three ayahs, not necessarily in the same sequence, which were revealed in Medina, while the rest of the surah was revealed in Mecca. Mm-hmm. But again, to connect, if you look, for example, at ayah number 9 in surah 45, it addresses Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and says, "Say, O Muhammad," that is to people, "I am not bringer of a newfangled doctrine," that Islam is nothing really totally new, it has been revealed to previous prophets before. And it ends by saying that "I am only following what has been revealed unto me." And we all know, of course, that what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad? The Quran. The ayah number 10 says, "Say, if this teaching," or the Quran, "was or be from Allah, and you reject it, and a witness from among the children of Israel testify to its similarity," that is with the earlier scriptures, "and he has believed, while you are arrogant, how unjust you are. Truly, Allah guides not a people unjust." Again, you notice the continuation of the meaning, because the previous ayah speaks about the Quran, mm-hmm, revealed to the Prophet, which is nothing new, which is basically the same essential message received by previous prophets, including Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. In ayah 10, the interesting thing about it is that it was not revealed in Mecca, it was revealed in Medina, and it was revealed also commenting on a particular incident. And that incident was that one of the main Jewish scholars and leaders in Medina, when mm-hmm, Prophet Muhammad went to Medina, by the name of Abdullah ibn Salam, he was regarded as the most knowledgeable among his people. And in fact, he embraced Islam, but he did not want to declare it immediately. So he asked Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to invite the Jews, the Israelites in Medina, to be in his presence. And Abdullah hid himself behind. And then the Prophet asked them, "What do you people think of Abdullah ibn Salam?" They said, "Oh, he's the most knowledgeable Jew among us. He's our leader. He's respected and this and that." So Abdullah ibn Salam came from his hiding and said, "If you people believe in my knowledge and my integrity, I have found that the Quran brought to Prophet Muhammad is the truth and you should follow it." At that time, they started attacking him, saying, "No, this man is the worst of us," and they started giving you all kind of, you know, bad description. So many writers on the exegesis or explanation or interpretation of the Quran, they said that this ayah was revealed in Medina, not in Mecca, in a commentary of that incident, and it says, "How could you reject a Quran like this, which has come from Allah, and a witness from the children of Israel, i.e. that man, Abdullah ibn Salam, has already testified to the truthfulness." And it says, "Ala mithli," that this Quran is similar to previous scriptures, at least in some essential concepts. "And he believed, but you rejected." And notice again that the following passage, number 11, it gives the argument, this time not of the Israelites, but the argument of other Arab pagans who rejected the Prophet. And they say that if the Quran, or this message, or Islam was true or good, how could those poor people be the first to follow the Prophet? In ayah 12, it talks again about Prophet Moses. And before it, that is before the revelation of the Quran, was the book that was given to Prophet Moses. Again, the flow of the meaning, you know, just mm-hmm, perfect, as if it's all revealed at the same time. In fact, it was not. Let's take, for example, surah number 50. Again, if you look at the citations before ayah 38, basically it deals with taking lesson from the punishment that Allah has given to previous people who rejected the mission of their prophets. In ayah 38, it talks about the creation of heavens and earth. It says that Allah created the heavens and earth and everything in between in six, not really days, actually it's periods. We discussed that in the science and Quran before. And that Allah was not touched by any sense of weariness. The immediate ayah after that, that is 39, it says, "Bear then, O Muhammad, with patience all that they say, and celebrate the praises of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting." the flow between 38 and 39, again, is perfect. You're talking about the creation of heavens and earth. That as such, O Muhammad, be patient with their rejection, because that's the context of the whole surah, or at least that part, people rejecting the mission of the Prophet. Say, be patient with them and supplicate in the name of your Lord. Again, 38 was revealed in Medina. Mm-hmm. The remaining part of the surah before and after were revealed in Mecca. Again, how could it fit like a glove with this perfection? Take surah 53, for example. And that's an amazing one also. The entire surah was revealed in Mecca with the exception of one single ayah, number 32. If you look at the ayah before 32, you find that it says that to Allah belongs that is in heavens and on earth, so that He rewards those who do evil according to their deeds, and He rewards those who do good with what is best. So it talks about the reward of the good people. 32, which was revealed many years later, perhaps in Medina, it says, those who avoid great sins and shameful deeds. Notice here, in other words, it's almost like a continuation of description of those good people, that Allah would reward them, and that those good people who deserve this mercy of Allah try to avoid great sins. A perfect continuation of the meaning with the variation of time and place of revelation. In Surah 54, the entire surah was revealed in Mecca except for 44 through 46. The argument before this different ayahs is the argument made by the unbelievers, that Allah tells them that those unbelievers from among you, O people of Quraysh, or the tribe of the Prophet, you are not better than those whom Allah destroyed in the past. In these different ayahs revealed in Medina, 44 to 46, it talks about the argument of those same Qurayshite unbelievers, that they claim that they will have victory, but they will have defeat, and they will show their backs. But after all, the hour or the day of judgment is their appointed time, and this is even more grievous and more bitter. Up to that point ends the Madani revelation. The revelation that was revealed before that in Mecca, which is a continuation of the surah, that is ayah 47 on, it describes again the punishment of those people in the day of judgment, that they will be in dalal and wasu'a, that they will be straying in mind and mad. In other words, it still continues with the same type of punishment that would be inflicted. In 48, for example, it says how they will be dragged on their faces in the hellfire. In Surah 56, that's an interesting one too, because in the passages, for example, from 77 on, you find 77, let's say, to 80, it speaks exclusively about the Quran, that the Quran is an honored book and so on, and that it is revelation from Allah. In Ayah 81 and 82, you find that it speaks about the Quran being belittled and rejected. Message here refers to the Quran. Afiya bihad al-hadith means is it that such a message or Quran that you would hold in light esteem and so on. Again, a continuation talking about the Quran. In fact, Ayah 81 and 82 were both revealed in Medina. The rest before and after were revealed in Mecca. In Surah 68, that's another interesting passage also, which is quite lengthy, but just to abbreviate it, up to passage 16, it talks about, in the immediate ayahs before that, about one of the unbelievers who used to claim that whatever the Prophet says were just the stories of the past, because Allah has given him wealth and many children, he became so haughty and arrogant. Okay, so it talks about wealth and children as one reason why that man became so arrogant. From passage or ayah 17 through 33, it says, we tried them as we tried the people of the garden. And it tells about some people who used to own a garden, and they were very stingy. So before the poor come and ask for some charity, they said, we'll wake up in the morning and go and get the fruit before anybody asks for charity and so on, and how Allah destroyed and punished them. But notice again that the flow of the story, even though this was revealed in Medina, that is 17 through 33, it's basically similar to the story before that, that is testing the human with wealth and children, and to see whether they will be responsive to the message of Allah or too haughty. I don't know, we have about three more. Do we have time to go through them rather quickly?
A couple of moments, if we can go through them rather quickly.
Okay. In Surah 73, for example, up to passage number 9 were revealed in Mecca. In fact, number 9 addresses Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It says that Allah is the Lord of East and West. There is no God but He. Take Him for thy disposer of affairs. Passages number 10 and 11 were revealed in Medina, not in Mecca. But you notice the style, it says, and have patience, O Muhammad, with what they say. Still continuing to address the Prophet. In other words, again, with the difference in place and time, the flow of the meaning is not interrupted at all. In Surah number 77, again, that entire Surah was revealed in Mecca, except for one passage in the middle, actually, or somewhere in the middle, number 48, which was revealed in Medina. Again, if you look at the context before it, in passage number 47, you find that it continues to use a passage that was repeated very much in that surah. If you go back for a few passages, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe that day to the rejecter of truth. And then in 48 it says, and when it is said to them, prostrate yourself, they do not. In other words, it still continues the description of those who are rejectors of truth, that they refuse to bow down or prostrate in worship to Allah. In 49, which is the verse before last in that surah, it uses again the same repeated sentence in that surah, woe that day to the rejectors of truth. Again, if you look at it and you read it as a whole, you can hardly feel any difference whatsoever. Anyone would come to the conclusion that this surah must have been, in fact, revealed all at the same time, under the same circumstances, even though, in fact, it is not. The style is perfect. The flow of meaning is equally perfect. The last surah I have here, at least among those that we cover today, is 107, towards the very end of the Quran. Now, this surah is almost divided in terms of two parts. The first three passages were revealed in Mecca, the remaining part in Medina. The first three passages speaks about those who deny judgment, that is the hereafter, those who repulse the orphan and are harsh with the orphan, and those who are not helpful to the poor and needy. Now, the remaining part of the surah was revealed in Medina, mm-hmm. and it says, so, and notice here, so, fawailun, which means just a continuation of the meaning. Mm-hmm. Woe to the worshippers who are neglectful of their prayers, those who want but to be seen, that is to show off only, but refuse to supply even the neighborly needs. So there is first the flow in terms of the rhyme. There is the flow also of the meaning. And notice here the difference between Mecca and Medina, because in Medina, some people already became Muslims, but they were not really good Muslims. Some of them were just showing off. Some of them were doing that, but not applying the teaching of Islam. So in the first half, it speaks about those who do not believe at all. The second half says, all right, even if you believe, you still have to follow certain rules and certain, standards in order to be a true believer. Again, a perfect fit of meaning. The main question that is raised here in this very humble piece of research, how could any human being author something like that scattered over 23 years in different places, and sometimes commenting on certain events that were not known at the time, of course, when he had this master plan, unless the author of the Quran is none but the Creator himself?
Well, Brother Jamal, we've exhausted our time. I'm sure many of the viewers of the program are anxious to awaiting the publication of your findings on this very interesting topic. We want to thank you all for watching. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
أشهد أن محمد